This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. It's now been 12 years since unsigned musicians across the U.S. started putting themselves in the vicinity of a desk to film themselves performing original music. They've made videos for a shot at winning NPR's Tiny Desk Contest, and that's an annual competition that gives indie artists the chance to perform at the iconic desk at the NPR Music Newsroom and to go on a national tour. Over the past 3 years, a project called Tiny Desk Crashers has helped musicians throw their hat in the Tiny Desk ring and to put Southern Illinois on the music map. Musicians like Colt Ball, a self-described, quote, barefoot traveling garden gnome from the cornfields of Illinois, rooted in the bluffs of Missouri, is one. Goddamn, it's on part of the plan, gotta get the band rolling with a whole damn band, you know. The road is calling and it's taking its own, man. Feeling astonishing, it's on because the path we are on. I'm cool with the time and the wind. I'm not nauseous, but it's honestly hard to admit. The time can make you feel like a stone in a stick. We're just a primitive tool used for primitive shit. Man, we're gonna make our own destiny, that's what I'm told. We can speak about dirty, bring out loud. We the makers of our own. You got a heart and gold. Now, the submission window for the 2026 Tiny Desk Contest has closed, but today we have in studio the co-producers of Tiny Desk Crashers. Nathan Colombo is the founder of Brand Advocacy Group, Inc. and co-producer of Tiny Desk Crashers. Nathan, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for having us.
And also with us is Max Centini, who is the founder of River to River Community Records and co-producer also of Tiny Desk Crashers. Max, welcome to you as well.
Thanks.
So before Tiny Desk Crashers, there was actually a live-streamed concert series in the works supporting musicians during the early days of the COVID pandemic. So let's start there. Max, tell us a little bit about this virtual varsity project.
Sure. Well, this is actually a project that Nathan kind of spearheaded, as he's very involved with this community theater in Carbondale. So he'd actually be better to answer that question for us, probably.
Yeah, so I mean, this is really how, you know, the origin story to the Tiny Desk Crashers project. We filmed over 50 live streamed concerts during the pandemic out of the Varsity Center in downtown Carbondale. And while doing that, Max was also producing these river-to-river community record sessions. And so we both had identified this kind of pool of activity that we were doing similar to one another. And that kind of coincided with the 10-year anniversary for the Tiny Desk Contest. At the time, our studio for Brand Advocacy Group was coming to its final assembly at the Dunn-Richmond Economic Development Center in Carbondale. And so we pulled our heads and our resources together and organized, you know, hundreds of musicians to submit videos to NPR's Tiny Desk Contest.
Mm-hmm. And again, before we leave the virtual varsity mm-hmm. effort, were you already sort of positioned to do production of that fashion, or was there a learning curve or a skills gap to fill?
Yeah. So, you know, I had been in the media production world for some time, but really pulling together this function of kind of what we now coin television as a service, we really honed that skill utilizing the virtual varsity, expanding from very basic sound system interfaces and web cameras into the realm of more professional audio production. And, you know, live switched camera systems, very similar to what somebody might expect from a television station. So we really honed the core skills that we applied in Tiny Desk Crashers, the skills that we've utilized to be able to create the critical mass of media. We really pulled together and honed those functions on the virtual varsity and also Max's work with the River to River sessions.
Mm-hmm. How was virtual varsity received by audiences and by musicians? I mean, you put together a lot of content, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're talking, you know, hundreds of hours at some point when you account for everything that was manufactured in this you know, theater space over the course of the pandemic, and you know, very well received, right? When you're able to take these physical spaces and represent them to their fullest fashion in a digital environment, and do so at a point in time when people feel disconnected from that physical space, right? You really maintain the integrity of the overall performance environment in which we live and exist, both as patrons and as performers and producers. So, you know, we were really able to keep the spirit of creativity alive in Carbondale.
Mm-hmm. Max, you are the founder of community, of River to River Community Records. Tell us a little bit about that and how it reflects the music of Southern Illinois.
Sure. Yeah, River to River Community Records is a project I started back shortly after COVID and all of that. I guess it was 2001 when we released our first record. And it is a 2021, that is, sorry. It's a community-funded and volunteer-operated record label. So all of our funding comes from donations, and nobody's getting paid to do it. So it's just a thing that I wanted to do to lift up our vibrant and thriving music community that we have in Southern Illinois. Mm-hmm. So far, we've released 10, well, it's about to be 10 vinyl records of only Southern Illinois musicians, as well as many digital releases and other video projects such as Tiny Desk Crashers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just doing everything I can to try to lift up our community and keep everybody connected and interacting with one another.
And you brought for us a treat of a couple of this vinyl records. When I start listening to it, am I going to hear what you would characterize as, you know, the Southern Illinois sound?
You know, it's interesting. You, as a listener, you might not think of it that way, because it's actually, it's what I brought was a couple compilation records. One record has 13 different artists on it. The other record has 12 different artists, all different artists and many from varying genres. So there's all different kinds of music on there, from hip hop to punk and metal and country stuff, but also experimental jazz and electronic. So with those compilations, I really wanted to show the diversity of our music scene and all of the different sounds that come out of Southern Illinois.
Mm-hmm. There is in Oklahoma, you know, the red dirt, or in Texas, you know, there are certain sounds that are associated there. There's also music that is associated with Appalachia. Mm-hmm. In the time that you have been doing River to River, I mean, have you noticed that there are, like, there's a preponderance of a certain kind of music?
There, you could say there are certain kinds of music that stand out a little bit, or maybe certain kinds of music that have broken out a bit. I would argue that even a genre that is widely listened to today called alt country, a lot of the roots of alt country come from Southern Illinois, and it's artists like Jason Ringenberg, who plays Jason and the Scorchers, but also a band called Woodbox Gang, who they coined the term Trash Can Americana, uh-huh, which is maybe an early term for this alt-country kind of idea of blending punk and rock with country and roots music. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of roots of that in Southern Illinois. Also J.D. Wilkes with the legendary Shack Shakers, who's actually from Paducah, which is western Kentucky, just across the river. And or even up into the St. Louis region with bands like Wilco and Uncle Tupelo. But all of that, I would argue, started in the Southern Illinois region, mm-hmm, in late 90s, early 2000s.
So coming to then Tiny Desk Crashers, first, what's the Crashers part of this?
Yeah. Nathan? Yeah. So, I mean, the Crashers concept here is that we are We are here to show up in force with a critical mass of talent across a wide spectrum of genres and make a statement that Southern Illinois has a level of talent that cannot and should not be ignored. And so we are coming in to crash the Tiny Desk contest and become known as a musical and performance community off of this effort, right? It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek nod to the idea of wedding crashers, right? Like the old movie, right? So think about it in this sense. When we're showing up and submitting, especially in the first and now this year, right, we are over 1% of the cumulative submissions to NPR's Tiny Desk contest, right? They're anywhere between 6,000 and 8,000 submissions in any given year, and 100 is more than a percent. If I'm doing math just based off, I know that 100 is 1% of 10,000. If they're not hitting 10,000 and we're over 100, I know that we're making an impact in terms of the quantity of submissions, and you pair that in tandem with the quality both of the performance and the production, and I think it's something worth taking note of.
Mm-hmm. Well, we cannot see the videos that you've put together, but let's listen to one of the entries that happens to feature you, Max. This is Lucas Wayne and the Cottonmouths with their song Biscuits.
Well, the apple trees are blooming, there's bees out in the yard, line, some gas still in the car, a couple dollar bills on the washing machine, nothing on TV we ain't already seen. You can toss out your trouble load, it's easy if you try. Well, there's enough there in your cupboard.
And that was Lucas Wayne and the Cottonmouths with their song Biscuits. So, Max, you have an inside track on how all of this happens, but what does the artist experience look like when they're getting set up with Tiny Desk crashers? Like, do they just show up at the studios?
Essentially, yeah. So we have set up our production studio to be pretty fast operating situation. So backline drums, amplifiers, all of that is already provided and set up, and for the most part mic'd up, so that the artists can walk in there, record their thing, and get out and do it pretty quickly. And we set it up that way so that we could record as many acts as possible. I mean, that first year we did it, we were trying to record 3 or 4 acts in 1 hour.
Oh my gosh.
Which ended up being just too much.
It's a crash of another kind.
Exactly. We got them all in, but we were at the studio for some long nights on that first year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we've set it up to be a pretty easy process for artists. So basically they just get on the schedule, show up and perform, and we make it as easy as we can.
Mm-hmm. What has that taught you? I mean, has Tiny Desk Crashers expanded then in the last few years, Nathan?
I would say it's more refined than it has expanded. So for context around that, the first year we did 156 recording, of which 136 were submitted. The second year we did 69 recordings, of which we know at least 33 were submitted. This year we had 116 recordings, with over 101 of those submitted, if all of my numbers hold true once the final numbers shake out on that. And in that process, we've better understood how to manage our tech, how to manage our time, and how to have the best output and experience, both for the crew which we employ, which is all volunteer, the dozens of you out there that I can't name offhand for the sake of time. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for everything that you have contributed to this. And thank you to all the artists who participated. But it really is setting this up in such a way that, I mean, it feels like a professional festival ran out of a 600 square foot studio space in the back of a business incubator in rural Southern Illinois. I I mean, it's just been phenomenal to see how it's come together. And, you know, the output has been something that better aligns with the Tiny Desk concert and contest concept overall, right? If you were to compare our music from year one to our music this year, right, we're starting to really comprehend the elements sound and production-wise that make Tiny Desk Tiny Desk, right? And we have made sure that we focused on the things that we think are most important. Year one, we had a desk that had a lot of artifacts, and we encompassed that component of Tiny Desk, but our sound wasn't right. Mm-hmm. This year is a good example where, hey, we had a little 3D printed desk that didn't have a bunch of artifacts, but we made more room for acts to actually move about because of it, and we refined the sound to have a much more Tiny Desk-esque sound to it.
We're talking today with Nathan Colombo and Max Centini. They are the co-producers of Tiny Desk Crashers in Carbondale. So let's hear another song among this year's entries from Southern Illinois. This is jazz trio The Jewels and their song OSB. That was The Jewels and their Tiny Desk entry for their song OSB. Our audio engineer says the recording sounds really good, and our executive producer Alex was commenting on how the drums sound. This to me sounds like something out of a Pink Panther film.
Right.
How did this group find their way to you, Max?
Sure. Well, The Jewels is maybe the most well-known jazz group that's active in Southern Illinois, fronted by Kevin Olau, who is, again, just one of the most well-respected musicians in Southern Illinois, and a valuable part of our scene. He's a music teacher and just all-around great fellow. Mm-hmm. So I work with Kevin a lot because he's one of my favorite musicians in the Carbondale area. I've released some of his music on River to River Community Records. He's featured on each of these compilations in some form, the compilation vinyl records that I offered you. And so when we were putting together this project, he was one of the first people I called to say, hey, we want to get you in the Tiny Desk Crashers, mm-hmm. for sure.
And what did he think?
He was very excited to be part of it. He absolutely believes in our community and jumped on the idea, definitely. Mm-hmm. So on this recording that you're hearing right now is one that was recorded at my studio, actually, which is something that we did differently this year that maybe we should have mentioned. It's something, mm-hmm. A way that we evolved over the last couple years. This year we actually expanded the concept and we recorded some of the videos at my studio where I do most of the River to River Community Records recordings. And we also had a fella, Brian Martinez, from the next town over. He recorded some of the videos in his studio as well. And as a way to showcase not just the talented musicians in our area, but also the different studio spaces that are providing services to our musicians. Mm-hmm. So that one was done at the River to River studio.
Yeah. With the NPR Tiny Desk contest, you know, how significant or big is the pull or that brand recognition of NPR among the musicians that you work with?
Well, a lot of people are very excited to be able to submit something to NPR. I will say there are quite a few who didn't have any idea about this contest before we reached out. Mm-hmm. Which I'm always kind of surprised as an avid music listener and lover. Of course, I know about NPR Tiny Desk, but I'm surprised that not everybody does. So mm-hmm. I think that in a way we're helping spread the word about the Tiny Desk in general yeah. by doing this project.
Oh, we love to hear that. Is there a certain case that you make with them? Like, have you encountered musicians, artists, bands who are reluctant to do something like this? I mean, it's one thing to perform in front of other people, but being on video maybe is a little bit of another thing.
So the difficulties that we experience in the production process are multifold, right? So the idea of these videos that we produce are that we produce them, they are canned and ready to go as soon as they are filmed. We give them to the artist, and then the expectation is that the artist carries through with the upload to YouTube and the submission to the contest, and they leverage that video however they see fit to advance their music careers, mm-hmm. right? And getting everybody to buy into the minimal process along the way. Again, you've heard me talk about the number we've recorded versus the number actually submitted, right? Yeah. It's tough. But the function overall is a positive outcome, and most folks are bought into the simplicity of, hey, all I got to do is let them film my video, I'll get it up on the internet, and I'll use it for my musical career moving forward.
Okay. Nathan Colombo is the founder of Brand Advocacy Group, Inc., and co-producer of Tiny Desk Crashers, and Max Centini is founder of River to River Community Records and co-producer of Tiny Desk Crashers. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet. Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.